Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 199, episode 1 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Monday, August 23rd, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Thank You for Being a Trend. Hot takes down a road and back again. Your heart is chug. You're a pal and a confidant. That is courtesy of Golden John Ion. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
There once was a pod on your device, and the name of that pod was the Daily Zeitgeist. The host came on and said his name, Potatoes O'Brien. Soon may the Miles Gray come to bring us cold brew and weed and fun. One day when the COVID is done, he'll go to Tuscany.
Yes, you're so right. I will go to Italy once things settle down. Shout out to Paul Gattaventa for that one. I believe you also in the Zeit Gang Fantasy League. I see you a few points behind me over there, Paul. And I think that was the Wellerman, the sea shanty that everybody was loving earlier this year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wait, what's the Zeit Gang Fantasy League? Fantasy what?
That's for the fantasy football, mate. Premier League.
Premier League, mate.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So, like, you get a bunch of points when somebody scores a goal?
Yep, or gets a, you know, takes a penalty, saves a penalty, an assist, things like that.
Got it, mate.
Is that how fantasy sports work?
Mm-hmm. Each sport is different based on, like, the rules of it. But, yeah, this one's pretty straightforward. So, yeah, shout out to people are doing really well in that league. So, nice. I've got to step my game up.
Well, Miles, we are 2 days out, baby, from 6 p.m. PST, 9 p.m. For all you tweakers on the East Coast, we are bringing you the year 2000 in a live streaming audio visual extravaganza.
Interactive.
We will riff on pictures. We'll talk Tom Hanks's pee fetish. We'll quiz a couple of y'all. We will. I'm going to dress like the biggest douchebag from the year 2000 that I can possibly construct using the thrift.
Which is me from the year 2000.
Yeah. So I have the necklace. It is
a hate.
Don't ruin it. Don't ruin it.
Okay.
Come on. All right.
I'm just saying. All right.
Yeah. Don't fuck around because you'll see the whole crew, us there, plus special guest Chris Crofton. It's going to be wonderful. Go to momenthouse.com/thedailyzeitgeist. And if you can't make it at the live part, you can still watch it on demand and still support the show. So, hey, grab a ticket. Pull up a chair. We'll see you there.
It's going to be fun. But, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat today by a very talented journalist, activist, and stand-up comedian. She hosted and was the head writer for Newsbroke on Al Jazeera, has hosted specials on MSNBC as a regular contributor to The Young Turks. You can see her and hear her on the very funny and informative must-listen podcast, The Bituation Room, and a bunch of upcoming live dates. Please welcome the hilarious and talented Francesca Fiorentini.
Thank you so much, Jack. I almost stuck the landing there.
Francesca Fiorentini.
Hey! Crushed it.
Thanks so much for having me.
So good to have you. How have you been?
Real good. Real, real good. I will be in Portland on September 2nd.
Yeah,
which is a Thursday. I'm going to plug a live event. That's a live live. Like, we can reach live out live. And touch.
Yeah, yeah.
Indoor, outdoor? What's the situation out there for the shows out there?
It's going to be indoor vax card checks and masks, but like a fallback for a parking lot situation.
Oh, like you'll pivot if
yeah, if I'll just jump on top of a dumpster and, you know, just clang around like Stomp. and, you know, that's pretty much the plan B.
Do my rhythmic comedic stylings come through for that.
All right, Francesca, we are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we are going to tell our listeners a couple of the things that we are talking about on today's episode. We gave Mike Richards the TDZ dump. We did one story on this fool as being the host of Jeopardy, and he is already fired thanks to the Daily Zeitgeist episode.
Just like Jamie Spears' conservatorship.
Yeah, exactly.
When we had Babs and Tess on. Yeah,
yeah. Like moments later. We're going to talk about the feds going hard on the Black Lives Matter movement, which is shocking, I think, to everyone. We're going to talk about COVID being the leading cause of death among the police. The Ballad of Broke Bobby. We will talk about the Tesla robot. All of that. Plenty more. But first, Francesca, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
I was just looking because I use DuckDuckGo. Mm-hmm. They're not paying me, but they should. DuckDuckGo is a much better search engine than Google.
Yeah.
And you can rely on this like cute little cartoon duck to not, you know, steal all of your information.
Nice.
So I just this morning, they have a great app and you can like erase your entire history and like flames go through your phone and just like, and it was amazing.
Oh, like you set a spider web on fire? It's like,
I've never done that, but now want to immediately. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. I was an asshole with WD-40 and 14 at one point.
Wow. I didn't realize that was a thing.
Whoa. You spray a spider web with WD-40.
No. I was flamethrowing with the WD-40.
And then you accidentally caught a spider web.
And I hit the spider web. And then, look, the way the spider web went up, I was like, oh, shit.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then my mom was like, what the fuck did I say about playing with fire? I'm like, nothing. Okay,
you didn't say anything.
Idiot. She's like, what? I'm like, nothing. Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm so scared of you. What? So DuckDuckGo will like just flame your phone up? Just
my phone up so I don't really have anything there. But I was looking. Okay, so I'm engaged. I believe you're having my betrothed on very soon. And, you know, Matt and I are, I'm going to get real. We're very good friends. You know, we're like, here, I'm not only marrying someone I love, but my best friend. Like, we're best friends kind of thing.
Yeah, if he threw a party and invited everyone he knew, he would see the biggest gift would be from you, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Probably.
Look at that.
Did you read that in a fortune cookie?
Yeah.
That's from the...
You read that on a throw pillow or some shit?
That's from the Golden Girls theme song.
Wow.
I take everything I just said back.
So y'all are best friends and you finish each other's sentences. You're so in step with each other.
But I am like, you know, I've always thought that it's like, yeah, but you need more than just being your best friend. So obviously, you know, I'm like Googling, like, should you marry your best friend articles, you know, straight. And, you know, look, the answers are bad. All the articles I'm reading, I mean, they're good, but they're also bad. But But I remember years ago, because I've also been divorced, like, or I am divorced. Years ago, there was a great article from some dude who was clearly, if I met him, I'd hate him. But he was like, I asked all of my wedding guests to tell me what the secret to their marriage was, you know, and he like pulled them and blah, blah, blah. And it was actually really interesting. It was like a lot about like mutual respect. Like mutual respect is that thing that you really need. Mm-hmm. And then I think like, you know, so that comes obviously from like being friends, whatever. Anyway, I'm fishing for, I can't find the same article. So I'm fishing for like reinforcement that yes, you should marry your best friend type thing.
Mm.
But if enough brides are blubbering about it on their wedding day, then I feel like that's a good sign.
Yeah. I think the only one, I don't even think it's a red flag. It's a gray flag was mm-hmm. obviously the faux pas, the flub with the ring selection. You know,
we,
but
yeah,
even that feels like you're able to overcome that. So, you know, y'all can do it.
Yeah, how did the ring go? You know, the new one's on its way.
Okay, so we did remedy that.
It's being mined by white chicks who went to Sarah Lawrence. It had to make its trip all the way from that that mine over there. And mm-hmm. it's a very particular, it's a sort of like reparations for rocks. You know, it's a white slavery line. And anyway, they're working on it. And I'm excited for when it arrives. So yeah, we're going to remedy that. But yeah, you know, I'm doing the engaged jitters of like, what sure. are the things? What are our problem areas that we're going to just sort of highlight? So like, you know, if this is for realsies, you know?
Yeah. But I feel like y'all, if you're together that long and you already have that friendship, that's like the hardest shit. It's like people who never think about it and then get married are the people who have problems.
That's true.
And you both, I think, have, you know, understand each other's careers and what you do and what you're passionate about, and you're willing to support each other. And that's really what it takes, you know, versus sure. someone who's going to be like, I told you doing all that ha-ha shit wasn't going to pay off and like harbor that kind of shit the whole time. Yeah, that's not going to fucking work.
That's fucking hilarious.
You know?
Let me put that in your little stand-up routine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is such a... I've had exes say that to me. Like, I thought if you wanted to do comedy, like, you probably would have done it by now. Like, oh, woo! Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah. And it's tough being a creative person and being with someone who's, like an accountant, you know, who's, like, had their path, like, nailed on from college versus other people who roll in that dice to express themselves a little bit or just any field that might not be as, like, consistent. And to be in a relationship with someone like that, it takes understanding and respect for them to be like, that's what my partner needs to feel happy. And I want to support that because my goal is to have a happy partner.
I mean, we're going to get into a story that is going to make me rethink whether or not I should have just married for money later in this episode, though. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like if neither of us makes it in 5 to 7 years.
Yeah.
We might just murder each other or like do some like joint, you know, murder some.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, at the same
just
time.
Like natural born killers. You guys go on a romantic killing spree of some sort.
Yeah.
Yeah. That very romantic. Fun. Anyway, that's TMI up top. Yeah, yeah. But you asked.
Or just do some comedy sets on a COVID cruise ship or something. You're like, fuck it. Let's just go out like this.
What is something you think is overrated?
Okay. The show Ozark or Ozarks.
Oh,
I don't even know.
Yeah, with what's his face?
Jason Bateman.
Yeah.
Who is so hot and like such a dilf and like I really like him. But like there's only so much deadpan. Like, hi, I am a middle class white man who is just going to run your town. And you're going to trust me because I'm a middle class white man who talks like this and incredibly self-assured. And I know money and numbers. And now I'm going to just run your entire town. It's like, that's never going to work. Why would that work? Why would you suddenly be allowed to launder massive amounts of drug money through this town because you speak like that? And it was like, yeah, but I voted for Obama and I worked on Obama's campaign. And you're just, I don't know, the whole thing. I'm just like, I'm so intolerant with shows. And as soon as I've given it enough and I'm like, I can't suspend disbelief anymore. It's an overrated show. People love that show. And I'm just like, it's a knockoff Breaking Bad. And it's not good.
That's why I never watched it. But
I got through the first 3 episodes of the first season and I'm sort of like the same way, not where like I decide that it's over, but the second I lose momentum, that's my subconscious being like, no, we're not fucking with this.
Right. Or you're like paying more attention to your phone when you're
right,
watching.
Right, right. Exactly. I'm like, I'm looking at air purifiers when everything's going on. I think I fuck with air purifiers more than I do with Ozark. The Outsider was cool, though, on HBO.
Yeah.
That was kind of wild.
I'll try it.
That was with Jason Bateman.
That's one of those show titles that when you pluralize it, it's funny to me for Ozarks. It's funny. I feel like that's a nice little also slight to it. Ozarks or whatever.
Yeah, mom.
Fuck yourself, Bateman. Bateman. Yeah.
Yeah, moms have been just like disrespecting Hollywood for so long.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my dad calls Brad Pitt Brad Pitts, famously. And I do love that. What is something you think is underrated?
Okay, so this is a band that is like a psychedelic cumbia band out of Colombia, and they're called Bomba Estéreo. And they've been they've been around for a while. But it just popped up into my feeds because this guy named Walter Schaub, who's not just a guy, he is the former director of the Office of Government Ethics, which I didn't know was a thing until Trump became president. And he's like tweeting. He's such a good follow on Twitter because he's like, he holds Biden accountable for all the same things that he held Trump accountable for, or like, you know, whistle blew on Trump. He left the administration early days. And the guy's just kind of like, no bullshit. And I appreciate that. And he like tweeted out that he loved, it was something like, I don't know, some tweet about like, instead of being on this crap platform, let's like all listen to Bomba Estéreo, or I wish, I'm trying to work like Bomba Estéreo into every tweet. And it got like 8 retweets. The guy has like 700,000 followers. Nobody knows what he's talking about. Right. Except me. And I was like, oh my God, Shabby, we're going to be let's dance funny. To cumbia.
It's always funny when someone like, there's like a track or something, or like someone mentions a band that to you feels like, oh my God, the fact that you even articulated this thing about the band, like we're going to get along. I already know. And he's like, the video for Soyo. Oh my God. Y'all got to don't sleep on that.
But that being said, if we ever were in the same place, he was like, it's a deal. It's a date or whatever. I was like, okay, but not that much, you know, because I'm like, if we were in the same space, he'd totally try to like, you know, do the like, I'm going to lightly put my hand on this, like on the small of your
it's
back.
It's a deal. It's a date. We're dating now.
Yeah. Now you're steady. My girlfriend.
Look, I pinned her.
Do you think we're going to get like sort of a new wave of psychedelia, like in the world of just music and film and just like culture, I guess, in general, now that we're like realizing that psychedelics are like spiritual wonder drugs?
Probably. I mean, even
but
if
all
things
the wackest aren't people are realizing that.
Right.
All the least creative people are.
More than it being maybe tied to the use of psychedelics, I feel like just because everyone's so disillusioned that it'll probably make the art pretty good, because people are like quickly like abandoning these other ideals they had and looking for new ones. I feel like there's probably more art to be created in that part than just like tech bros being like, yo, dude, I fucking did some poison dart frog fucking venom in Chatsworth last night. And you're like, okay, fool.
Yeah, I feel like our generation's like psychedelic art is kind of the anti-art. I mean, it's like anti-production, where everything is much more memey and pixelated, and like, you know, it's the Vic Berger stuff of like zoom ins on media. So it's like this, like that feels trippy in and of itself.
Yeah, like a bad trip. Our version of
It's like post-media.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point that like the people who are finding out about psychedelics are like the people who used to be into beer commercials, like, and quote beer commercials as their like sense of humor. They're now going to be like creating psychedelic memes.
Psychedelic toxic masculinity.
No. That is very much a thing. Like,
no, like what that aesthetic looks like. Like what do we call a psychedelic toxic masculinity? Like, well, how does that, what's that look like?
Just like tripped out sexual assault. It's just, you know.
in baggy linen pants.
Yeah.
Not even. Yeah, maybe. There's a whole like web of particularly the Austin scene of like wellness, fitness, and like anti-vaxxers that have created lifestyle brands. If you've heard of that guy, Aubrey Marcus, he has a lifestyle brand called On It that he just sold for a bunch of money. And he does like retreats where he goes with like to do, like, treat Trump, you know, traumatized people, supposedly. And it's like he's all about, like, free love and psychedelics. And you know we're a Daily Beast article away from finding out all the non-consensual crap that went on in there. Right. And it's like, you know, it just, I was getting into it for a story I might pitch or hoping to do. And anyway, it's not good, people.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, when there's a picture of him like touting a kettlebell mace workout, like an exercise item I've not really seen, and he's just like posing like this, all shredded up. I'm like,
yeah,
where's this going?
Yeah, it seems like it's just the anti-vaxxer kind of shit is just as big on the left as it is on the right, or not quite as big, but it's getting there.
Or I mean, in, you know, I guess liberal cities where the whole idea where like you can just sort of jettison your connection to reality and be like, I'm on this wellness shit and
wellness,
I have a $70,000 crystal bar that I serve drinks off of.
Because
I just read about this whole article about how like the most hype fucking furniture in some cities, like there's a place in L.A. that's like these gigantic crystals that they're turning into chairs or like planters and things. And like, oh my God, like it's so great to have this big a piece of amethyst or some shit as like a toilet.
The plant's going to definitely die. Like too much.
Right.
Like all I need is water and sunlight, you asshole. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's more of a circle, I think, politically, where it's like, there's that, you know, politics is less a spectrum and more that circle. And you see that alliance around anti-vax stuff from the left, supposedly left wellness community. And then the kind of like right word MAGA, like, you know, the guy that made Plandemic is was a yoga instructor from Ojai.
Jesus. You retweeted a video recently that was like a guy in San Diego with blonde dreadlocks who was just losing his mind at a like city council meeting. And I was just like, if you had shown me this 5 years ago, I don't know that I would have had children. I might have been like, it's like, wow, that's as bad as it could get. Yeah.
And he looks like the most aggressive hippie at the jam band festival, you know, where you're like, no, bro, I don't want to buy your, you know, shitty weed.
You trust that indoor stuff?
Like, oh, you know, fine. The chemicals on fine. There? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead. Get popcorn lung. I don't care.
No, he keeps on like stalking your campsite and shit. You know, the just the whitest, grossest dreads. And or he also has like a gnome from Lord of the Rings vibe.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
The
right.
Trolls.
What
are they?
I'm so sorry. What was Gimli? He's a dwarf, right?
He's a dwarf.
Yeah. It's
he's a dwarf warrior. We all know that. We know about Gimli.
Warrior. You know?
And that their use of the Nazi insult is really, he's saying that asking for vaccine cards is equivalent of being a Nazi. There was a parent at a PTA meeting in Alabama who, after somebody who, a health expert, advocated for the wearing of masks, they did a Nazi salute. That's the new meme, is wearing masks and getting vaccines is like Nazis, bro.
Yep.
So,
yeah. That's, I mean,
and
look,
the
this
Jews
is what it looks
run
like
it
when...
all. I mean, wait a minute. No.
Right. Whoops. Wait.
But it's Hitler. Look, my education was bad. So I don't know what history is. So I just know a lot of talking points or just buzzwords that I string together to get other people to follow along.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And yeah, let's talk Mike Richards real quick. We talked on Friday's episode about all the reasons that his being appointed the host of Jeopardy to replace Alex Trebek just didn't make any sense or made a lot of sense when you realized he was in control of everything and was just forcing his way onto being the host in a way that was like embarrassing for like should have been embarrassing when he first raised it, but was just a great testament to the way bad decisions get made in corporate America, where like the powerful guy who runs the thing, people are just like, yeah, boss, great idea. And it goes right, all the way until he announces, hey, guys, guess what? This great idea everybody's on board with. I'm going to be the host.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seemed like everyone, once people found out, like, you know, the behind the scenes is how transparently just corrupt and like the rat fucking that it took to make him the host. Plus, all of the allegations from his past gigs, plus the comments he was making on his podcast, finally got to a point where he's like, all right, yep, I guess this is bad now. I resign with immediate effect and I will no longer be the host of Jeopardy. I just want to read his fucking, like, part of his statement, though, because it's so whatever. Quote, I was deeply honored to be asked to host syndicated show. My man.
Is
you
this
were
me
not
that into the
asked.
Mirror? Like,
yeah, right.
Thank you, kind
and
sir.
Was thrilled by the opportunity to expand my role. However, over the last several days, it has become clear that moving forward as host would be too much of a distraction for our fans and not the right move for the show. How about It's clear now over the last several days that I'm a total piece of shit who doesn't deserve to rat fuck my way onto Jeopardy as the host. Yeah. That much has been clear. Thank you so much. I'm out.
I feel a lot of ways about this, you know, because one of the hilarious things, let's just talk about exactly what he did. He, like, in terms of the test audience that was supposed to judge which guest host they liked best for Jeopardy. He like put himself on all of those.
Yeah.
So I was like, did you like me in the blue shirt or did you like me in the gray?
Right. And then withheld LeVar Burton, the one who like everybody wanted for the very end, and only gave him a single week. And yeah, it was just did not give anybody else a good chance.
But it's a little bit revealing as to like how and why people lose these kinds of jobs, because of course there's the like, he's been canceled for his comments. And I gotta say, some of his comments are like exactly what I would expect from a game show host executive. Like, oh, you're misogynist towards women. You want the models to wear bikinis, game show host, executive. Right or wrong, that's what I expect. You know, I'm not saying we shouldn't change that culture. We should. It's just, you know, we're talking about sort of one of
course.
Yeah, the last vestige of like the most mainstream, the most, you know, just like Benny Hill programming that we've got, which are game shows. Jeopardy excluded, very, very different.
Yeah.
But then you realize that, and I think it's just gross the way that, yeah, he did ratfuck his way into power. And that seems more egregious to me than the misogyny. Although, of course, in terms of the workplace, like treating a pregnant woman, you know, being like, I should have fired you.
Yeah,
right. Obviously, that's like, you know, and I believe there is a lawsuit for that. That's just straight up illegal, whatever.
Discrimination. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. It's workplace discrimination. But there's something so obnoxious also, because I've worked in this area, but on like such a minor, like, you know, internet level of like, as a host, I've been hired as host pretty much all the time, host and producer. And then you work with a producer who's like secretly really gunning for your job all
the time.
You know, who's like, oh, but I think I should host this because, you know, and you're just like, no, because that's not your job.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, given those aggressive notes on your delivery, it's like, excuse you?
Can I give you a read?
Did I get it like
Can
this?
I give you a read real quick?
Oh my God. Don't give me a read. I'll bite your head off personally. But it's so common, you know, and I'm always like, if you want to be a host, that's totally all good, then you probably shouldn't be the executive producer on this. Just like take a year, whatever, be honest about it. Say, you know what? I really want to be a host. I'm going to do this, you know, and that'd be a more fair way. No one's saying a producer can't then be a host. I think that's good. But it's like there's a more fair way to do that.
Right.
Than just like in Spanish, like cerruchando el piso, they say. You're just like, you're like in a movie, like cutting the floorboard out from underneath somebody. Like,
right. And they'd be like, whoa, that's weird. He disappeared. Anyway, I'm here now to fill that role. Let's move forward.
Yeah. Like, did he give Trebek cancer? Can't we not prove that?
Right. Yikes. And wait for that report.
Yeah, it is frustrating to me that this is being pitched in the mainstream as like in the mainstream account of this as like getting canceled for a thing he said on podcast. And it's like, that's the least egregious thing that you could possibly take away from that. But, you know, people want to believe that we're in a runaway cancel culture. And so, that helps with that story.
Thank God he's gone.
Yeah.
But he's still the executive producer.
Right? Yeah, still the EP, though. Still getting that showrunner money, though. He's all good. He's like, fine, I guess we can get LeVar back. Although I wish they did that, and then LeVar can be like, look at you. Look at you, huh? Look at your ass.
No, thanks.
Anyway, I'm the new host of Jeopardy, LeVar Burton, folks.
All right, let's talk about some reports that are coming in about how the federal government and just law enforcement responded to the Black Lives Matter protests last year and protests about over-policing. Seems like they weren't overly permissive, I guess would be one way.
I mean, this report really, it's not shocking when you just know, again, when the reason people were in the streets are like, we have a system of law enforcement that's just built on just racism and white supremacy. And so because of that, it has no other option but to operate in service of white supremacy. So this report is sort of like, shockingly, during the uprisings over the white supremacist slant and focus of law enforcement, we saw that come to light, essentially. And this is a report that was shared with first the Associated Press with the Movement for Black Lives. And it's essentially saying like, hey, look, as the uprisings grew larger and public participation grew larger, so did the policing, and the feds showed up in increased numbers and began handing out heavy-handed prosecutions to disrupt, and you know, and also they were surveilling certain members of like certain activists and things like that. And they're like, yeah, it's very COINTELPRO-y, if you know what I mean.
Right.
And in this, like, as this group shows, what they're saying is like, look, we also found that in about 93% of the cases that were brought by federal prosecutors against protesters, there were state level charges that would have been completely appropriate and less severe. But they're juxtaposing that also with knowing that there were just top down orders from Trump and Bill Barr to go fucking after people in a much different way, as opposed to, let you know, juxtapose that with the COVID shutdown protests, where, you know, you saw some white people bringing fucking guns to state houses and shit was all good. And so in this sort of body of the report, they say, quote, we want to really show how the U.S. government has continued to persecute the Black movement by surveillance, by criminalizing protests, and by using the criminal legal system to prevent people from protesting and punishing them for being engaged in protests by attempting to curtail their First Amendment rights. It is undeniable that racism plays a role. It is structurally built into the fabric of this country and its institutions, which is why it's been so difficult to eradicate. It's based on institutions that were designed around racism and around the devaluing of Black people and the devaluing of Black lives. So now they're calling for amnesty for these protesters, as well as, like, you know, to get behind policing bills that are actually going to take funding from police and actually put them into communities, especially Black communities, to make them safer. So, yeah, it's like not surprising. But when you, again, you look through and you're like, oh, right.
Yeah.
They had orders to go harder on these protesters. And that completely makes sense.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, of course. And I'm just happy that the Movement for Black Lives did this research, and also that it got picked up by news outlets, because that can often fly under the radar, or they're like, no, that's not real stats. It's like, no, these are grassroots organizations that actually have more connections with people facing these charges. And yeah, that's why January 6th, you know, hit different. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, it was like, everybody, like,
in the wake of all this, not just that we were seeing, like you're mentioning, the anti-lockdown protests juxtaposed with BLM protests and the vastly different police turnout. Then you had January 6th, and you're like, yeah, anyone who ever talks about BLM ever again.
I mean, that was no BLM, though, on January 6th.
Yeah, that was.
Those were Black people in white face looking like old boomers beating the shit out of people with crutches. It's like, and again, the amount of brain twisting that goes on, even when you can, you just look, compare the two. You know, it's like, let's pepper ball people who are like on the side of a road protesting versus like taking selfies with people that broke into the fucking Capitol. Like, come on now. Come on.
Not to mention all the ways that BLM demonstrators have also been victimized by white nationalist organizations and white nationalists themselves, from, you know, Heather Heyer being killed. But multiple people have been run into and over by cars. So, you know, who the police is protecting, what kind of speech they're protecting in moments like that is really significant, whether they're protecting people's right to exercise their First Amendments, or are they allowing cars to plow into peaceful demonstrators?
Yeah.
The other thing I was just going to say, and we sort of forget this, but we're coming up on 10 years since the Occupy Wall Street movement. And it's hard to remember how that movement like stopped. And it did stop because of a whole lot of COINTELPRO and police violence. It was because it was very much an Occupy, we're going to sit down, like not as much of a march movement, like obviously not nearly as many, you know, Black activists involved. The tactics were different, but there was massive amounts of undercovers who were infiltrating the Occupy Wall Street movement to take it down from the inside. Also then, like, just cordoning off plazas, city halls, anywhere where Occupy Wall Street was occupying, was fence put up. It was like, you know, they were trying to evict a homeless encampment or something like this. So kind of remembering all the ways that no matter when social movements really pop off, left, right, Democrat, Republican, the first order of business is stop them. Just stop them. And obviously, sadly, we don't take that, you know, white nationalists or anyone who's fully armed with an AR-15 who's got a plot to, like, you know, kidnap the a governor, we don't take them nearly as seriously.
Yeah.
Right.
The white nationalists blew up a state building in Oklahoma City, and we didn't go to war on white nationalism for 20 years the way we did after September 11th. It was just a thing that people kind of, we got the guy and we moved forward, and it was just a lone wolf. We're much happier with lone wolf.
You sell more bombs if the field of battle is in another place, in a far off country. So there's more money to be made. I mean, they could drop bombs in the U.S., but that only happened in Philadelphia in 1985 when they dropped it on black activists because of the move. Anyway, but again, history is something, is really something. And we keep repeating the same shit over and over. And that's what's so frustrating. And I think that's why a lot of marginalized people who are allies and shit, just feel so disheartened constantly. You see all the shit that happens, you're like, fucking nothing. We can barely have a reckoning with American imperialism and looking at the after effects in Afghanistan. And people are like, it could have been done better, I guess. It's like, no, dude, go all the way back saying we have to stop this pattern of sending the military abroad to occupy places. And in the name of, you know, liberal democracy or whatever the cover is. But
yeah,
we still can't. It's just very difficult to have these reckonings here.
I feel like there are multiple cases of people driving into Black Lives Matter protests that, and it just kind of went away. Like, I remember watching one that was like broad daylight down in, it was like somewhere Newport in Beach Orange or County Orange or, County. Newport Beach, and somebody drove through, like came within inches of hitting like a 3-year-old child who was there, and it just kind of went away. It was like a local news story that they then were like, yeah, well, we got to give this person the benefit of the doubt, and it wasn't like a big, it didn't become a thing.
It's straight ISIS tactics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing too is then you talk about places like Texas or Florida where they're like, yeah, it's legal to run over someone if they're in the road protesting, or it's illegal to be in the road protesting. So if that's the case, then you can defend yourself with your car. But a lot of people noticed when a lot of the protests were happening with Cubans in Florida over what was happening down in Cuba, they completely stopped a roadway, and the police were like, we're mostly worried about black people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Black protests or left-leaning protests, really, that's when the big guns come out. Like, there was that pipeline protest that I know some people who were at in, I forget what year it was. It was like maybe 5-6 years ago.
And, the Dakota Access?
Yeah, the pipeline. Dakota Access pipeline. And like they were like just deading all cell phones, like hacking into people's cell phones there, like on the ground. It was just like next level, like data and, you know, technological warfare for people protesting against a like
gas pipeline.
Gas pipeline, yeah.
It's really sad because you don't realize how few freedoms we have actually in the United States until you try and exercise them.
Right.
So I've protested in other countries and felt far freer than I have in the United States. I've been arrested on a sidewalk protesting in the United States, you know, just like penned in, done. The order is you off the streets, you know, and like feeling that in that moment. And I was like, you know, I was like, I've been arrested before. I wanted to be arrested the first time for, this was against the Iraq War. But the second time I wasn't meaning to. And it like kind of like stung a little more because I was like, man,
right,
I was fuck just, this I was country. Here. You know what right. I mean? Yeah. You just realize that actually when you do stick your neck out, when you do actually do some real organizing and work, it will be swift, the amount that, you know, that, yeah, your First Amendment rights do not matter at all. You're going to be arrested and purely on ideological grounds. Purely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. Anyway, what's sad is that happened a year. I mean, BLM popped off a year ago. I mean, many years ago, but in a mass movement way last year. And this year we've got all these politicians now going like, nobody wants to defund the police. Cory Booker making his sort of epic, like ironic stand. And you're like, yeah, but maybe we should.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
But maybe the lesson from not just what the protests were about, but the response to the protests themselves is all the example you need, is all the evidence you need that we really do need to redirect funds away from cops.
Yeah. Right. And then because it's all built on this framework of white supremacist, like, you know, capitalism, the only people who have freedoms are those that are going to exercise their rights in service of that. So if you run over a protester
because you are there to actually cape for white supremacist capitalism, then you're all good. Then right. It's like, well, you know, I had a rough day. You know, you stormed the Capitol. Here's a slap on the wrist. Yeah. And again, I brought up how there's judges who are like, why are y'all going so soft on these people?
Yeah.
They fucking straight up pulled up to the, okay, I don't know what the fuck's going on with y'all, but as a judge, I think this is fucking weak.
Yeah. I mean, the selfie, like I was just thinking about the guy taking the picture with the guy in the Capitol on January 6th versus the person taking a video from their porch during the protest.
Go inside.
Yes. And they said, go inside, and then shot at them with rubber bullets.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Which reminded me, that was like, it's funny because the last time I saw that was in East Jerusalem, like reminded me of Palestinians too, you know, like in their own homes being shot at, go back inside, being shot at with rubber bullets, like from the police. I don't know.
Well, no,
our struggles are linked, y'all.
No, absolutely. And we even talk about how that in the same way, the same tools are being deployed against the protesters that they refine in Palestine and then bring to the U.S. because they're like, oh, yeah, it's been field tested on Palestinians.
Yep.
Yeah.
So go 100%. Ahead, police departments, check these toys that we know we've cooked up for you.
Yeah.
Speaking of the police, COVID is now the leading cause of death among the police, which is kind of a shocking.
It's more
statistic.
Than any other cause combined right now. It's all
more than
all
heart
COVID.
Disease.
Yeah, more than heart disease. Yeah, and it's not because it's not because thugs are putting COVID in the fentanyl and then throwing it in the air, and then that's how they're getting it.
Right.
It's because most of these assholes are too rigid in their thinking and or support of Trump and this whole other culture that they won't get the shot. It's funny, this Atlanta police chief Rodney Bryant said, quote, in the profession as a whole, you generally find a lot of skepticism inside law enforcement. Police officers are just overly cautious about things they don't understand. Yikes. They don't move quickly into place without a lot of detail and a lot of information. The apprehension is shared throughout the profession. I mean, that's a really nice way to put it.
Oh, my God. Police are apprehensive about this one thing.
Yeah.
But when it comes to gunning down an unarmed black person, it's super easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm apprehensive about extending humanity to that person.
Right.
That's what I'm apprehensive about.
Sorry. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're quick decision makers in every other instance, provided they've got a gun.
Well, they're acting out of fear. It seems like every decision that I feel like I see police making, they're acting out of fear, whether it be shooting an unarmed black man or not getting a vaccine, an owie on your arm.
A lot of police departments are under-vaccinated. There are some places like Atlanta actually has a pretty decent vaccination rate for their police department, but places like New York, right? NYPD, 47% vaccinated. New York residents, 75% vaccinated.
Wow.
LAPD, 52% vaccinated. LA residents, 72% vaccinated. Chicago police, 27% vaccinated. Chicago residents, 70%.
Wow.
And you get it. These people are out there every day interacting with the public. Of course, they're going to encounter COVID. And we see it in LA all the time. We're like, yo, these cops don't wear fucking masks.
Yes.
They're all of them are like, oh, they're all on some weird fucking pandemic shit. But a lot of the observers have noted that it's this combination of, again, this like petulance from them, the police just taking L after public L last year and being like, nobody fucks with us. They think we're all bastards and shit because like there's a preponderance of evidence that suggests we're fucking monsters. That plus they see that the bootlicker set is all on this anti-vax, anti-mask shit. So what they see is like, oh, well, we're just going to align with our people, too. There's like this alignment happening with like, well, the people that lick the boot and come out rah, rah, Blue Lives Matter shit, they're also vaccine hesitant or anti-maskers. So they're just kind of, meshing with that same kind of culture. And yeah, you see the outcomes.
Police always trying to find new creative ways to kill people. Mm. And that's what's so incredible about it. But I will say that one interesting thing is you wonder, like, all right, well, why don't, why isn't it required that police get vaccinated? And I think we sort of hit it, right? Which is that a lot of them come from a far right MAGA ilk. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Police departments are having a hard time recruiting in the year 2020 and 2021. Yeah. Like, it's difficult. So if they mandated a vaccine, they might lose officers.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe that's the quickest way. to start up
refunding.
Revamping
that's
shit.
Kind of a great
vaccinate
idea.
The police. Vaccinate the police. Vaccinate the police. And then they're like, I'm off this shit. Right. Oh my God.
Yeah,
maybe
perfect.
Get someone with empathy who has an idea that they have some duty to other people to get vaccinated. That's not me because I'm a cop.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's a frightening moment. And I'm sure look at most of your police departments. You'll see that many are unmasked and like have a very flippant attitude towards everything as well.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take another quick break and we'll come back and talk about Broke Bobby.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this,
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and let's talk the Ballad of Broke Bobby.
Oh, man. Broke Bobby was popping off at the end of last week.
Yeah.
I was like, why is Broke trending? Why is Bobby trending? Why is Broke Bobby trending? And it's because his TikTok video blew up because this young baller landlord named Tom Cruise, like C-R-U-Z, okay, that's your name, went viral for being, just giving us a really clear look into the mindset of someone that's a fucking landlord and just like all focused on like sick ass passive income, bro, because that's like sort of the tone of these posts. But in the clip, he goes over his like Forbes friends list, and it's a spreadsheet that has all kinds of shit about his friend group, like where they're ranked by their income, the days they have off and things like that. And I'm going to just play you a clip so you can hear how this guy sort of like his mindset, because he's presenting this spreadsheet as like, it's actually a really good way to get everything organized. Like if you want to go on a big vacation.
Yeah.
and let's
it's just
check out
you guys.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's just like you're just cutting out a lot of like clutter and like redundant steps.
So a few years ago, me and my friends started making a spreadsheet breaking down our incomes and availability for travel. And it looks like this. This is incredibly helpful. If you have your friends broken down here, from Sean, my top earning friend who makes over $5 million, to who we call Broke Bob, who makes $125,000. How much available PTO we have or pay time off, bonuses, how much we're willing to spend on a 3-day trip, 7-day trip. We have some people that are very responsible with their 7-day trips, some people that already tapped out for the year. Marital status helps if we know there's going to be anyone else coming. Our willingness to travel to a third world destination, if they're willing to split a private flight, and if they're degenerate gamblers or not.
Okay.
And their dick sizes.
And their dick sizes.
The last one,
micro, average. This whole thing, right? The top earner in this sheet is making $5 million.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's just the whole thing. They're saying, just to give you an idea of what this friend group is talking about, they said willingness on what they're willing to spend on a 3-day trip. The most is $80,000. Broke Bobby is willing to pay $10,000 for a 3-day trip.
Wow.
A 7-day trip. One guy's like, yeah, I'll do like $175,000 if we're going to be gone for fucking 7 days. Broke Bobby goes a little bit less for 7 days. It's just like,
how much does Broke Bobby make? This is what we have to talk about.
Broke Bobby makes, okay, so 5 million is like, as he said in the beginning of the video, his top earner friend, 5 million. Broke Bobby's ass, broke fucking Bobby's making $125,000 a year.
Wow.
Plus bonuses.
Six figures.
What the fuck are we talking about? That puts you in the, if you make $125,000 a year, that puts you in the top 10% of earners.
Yeah.
So this is not, you're not broke. Okay, especially when the median income's under $40,000.
Yeah.
You're tripling
right.
What the average person is making in this country. And I, to me, I'm like, look, the outrage was very clear, like with this whole, you know, like especially the willingness to go to a third world country.
Yeah.
Trust me, those places are way more fun to go to than these developed fucking places. I give you that.
They don't want you anyway. It's fine.
Yeah, and plus they're going to be staring at your ass because you're wearing, you're going to look like a fucking mark dressed all fancy in these places and you're going to get your ass. Anyway, the whole thing with this whole thing is like, it more so gives you a glimpse into the mindset of people that are essentially the decision makers in many workplaces.
Yeah.
And it shows you a complete disconnect from what broke is. And organizing friends, and they also organize their friends in order of their assets.
Right.
And you say like, oh, right. Okay. This makes sense. Your worldview is sort of built around like, yo, how much do you make? Oh, 120. Oh my God. All right, you schlub. Sorry. I don't even know what that means. Like, I don't know anyone who makes less than that, just to give you an idea of the insulation of my friend group. And I don't know. It's no surprise you see rents going up as well, because landlords are looking to evict people, trying to make some more money, recoup some losses from the pandemic. And then you also have like an influx of wealthier people from cities trying to find more affordable housing. So they're putting the squeeze on tenants in other, you know, formerly affordable areas. And you're like, right, this is that that 10 to 1 percenter sort of vibe that people have. And it's like, it's so tone deaf.
They're the most likely to complain about taxes, spend money so they don't have to pay taxes. It was also interesting that the top earners were also the ones who had unlimited time off.
Right.
Yeah. Because so you just don't need to work once you get to a certain level of wealth, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, a couple things. One is I've just got turned on to, meaning I was told about the amount of life hack real estate douches that are on the internet generally. One of them is trying to become the new governor of fucking California. Another one is like this guy. And there's a lot of real estate life hacks people. And they're just like, okay, so all you got to do is like find like a really poor Latino family who like can't really pay their rent. And like you see the outside of their house is like chip and paint. Then you go rat on them to like building code inspectors, and then you sell their place to a realtor, and then you flip that, and then you're making $5,000, and you're just like,
and that's in one day,
and that's amazing, and that's
I
in
do
one
three
day.
A day, $15,000 a day.
This is straight up, and so even though many of us, and like you know, the outrage is clear, I think more people look at someone like this guy and are like, hell yeah. That's what I want to do. That's where I want to be.
Baller shit, dog.
Baller shit. And And then the other thing I was getting, okay, obviously nobody needs a whole goddamn spreadsheet about how much you make in a year to find out how much you're willing to spend on a vacation. Right. You could just have one column. How much do you want to spend on a vacation? Fine. But the other thing is, so I've been on this trip ever since the ProPublica article came out that showed just how much billionaires are paying and how much, like, very wealthy but not billionaire people are paying. And it's insane to me that people who make, like, $500,000 a year who are paying their fair share of taxes feel so much more allied with Bezos and Zuckerberg and Elon Musk and, like, fucking rich-ass Sean with $5 million than they do with supposedly broke Bobby, because they're actually paying their taxes. And instead of being like, yeah, no, we need to create a fair tax structure so that billionaires are actually, you know, contributing to the society that we all live in, they're like, nuh-uh, fucking fuck broke Bobby. We're just going to go. I'm about to be Elon. No, you're not. Not even Sean's going to be Elon next year or in 5 years or in his whole goddamn lifetime. So, like, that's the other thing that, like, people with a very comfortable amount of wealth do not understand where they are actually in relation, that they're more, they have more in common with their Uber Eats delivery person than they do with these billionaires.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, at least they're willing to split a P-Jet, you know, when they go to Cozumel. Dude, it's fucking sick. And this is the same, it's the same class of people that become politicians too. You know, it's the same hyper wealthy, or, you know, I guess top 10, you know, top 5% type people, because you think about the number of millionaires that are in Congress who equally are looking at, they think 125 is a broke ass, or just being like, I don't know what a single parent on food stamps needs, because I don't fucking know what anything's worth.
125 is what I drop on a trip to a third world country, bro.
Right. No, for real. Exactly. I mean, like, that one dude, Sean's like, bro, Bobby, I just spent your fucking salary on coke when we went down to fucking Bogota, bro. Like, shit was lit.
The gambling is also interesting, because it's like, rather than pay taxes, they pay money to feel alive in, like, these brief bursts of, like, of gambling and shitloads of money. But, like, that's the only thing that can, like, make them feel alive anymore.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that would be one of the things on there is wild.
It is also just, like, not willing to go to a third world country. Like, I pay to be insulated from poverty. I don't want to look at it. I don't want it to touch me. That's why I go to whack-ass resorts if I even go to somewhere like Colombia or the Caribbean or anywhere.
Dude, we got this, like, former plantation. Like, that's, like, this sick-ass mansion, dude. And it's, like, fucking sick. There's, like, a perimeter gate and shit. So, like, no one's gonna fuck with us.
There's armed guards, yo.
Yeah. Dude, and, like, the cook there makes these, like, bomb-ass things. They're called, like, pupusas or something. I don't know, dude. Shit's fucking bomb, though. You're like, oh, please.
Which you
please.
Only eat at lunch. When I went to El Salvador, I was like, can I have a pupusa for dinner? And they were like, no. What the fuck's wrong with you? And I was like, what? It's a lunch food.
Never mind.
And I mean, I know how to travel. Hell yeah.
That was like,
I was testing you.
It was like ordering pancakes at a steakhouse. You're like, huh? But why? All right. Did you guys see the computer? Or the computer?
I saw a computer.
Did you guys see the computer? Did you see the robot that Elon Musk introduced?
You mean the asshole in the costume?
Yeah. So he dressed somebody up in a costume, but he also announced that he is planning on designing a robot that will basically take over manual labor, help you with groceries. But it was really weird, because he emphasized, like, how easy it would be to beat up. Like, that was his pitch. In his pitch, he said it is a mechanical and physical level that you can run away from and likely overpower it. So he's like immediately, I don't know if that's kind of genius. Like, he just realizes the thing people are afraid of is that they won't be able to beat up a robot, or like,
it's like when you walk in on it fucking your wife, which is part of it, obviously.
Yeah,
you
can throw him off and like,
yeah, that's the fantasy. He's fucking your wife, then you pull him off, and then you beat him up, and then you guys start having sex. Have I built this up too much? It's weird, right? Okay, I'll back up.
Kind of cool.
He's just such a fucking lame, bro. All he does is pump fake with these ideas.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, remember, what the, where's the fucking Cybertruck? He said 2021, man, this motherfucker out here. Still haven't seen the shit.
He and said remember 2021? He was
like, yes. And he's like, check out this window, bulletproof. The shit fucking broke. Like, this is like sort of in line with like a lot of things he likes to say, like some shit. Like, what happened to the fucking, what's that fucking like hyperloop, that tunnel and shit that everything was supposed to move through that he said was going to get done quick? And so he just has a history of this kind of nonsense.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I'm like, yeah, yeah, I'll believe when I see it, bro. Yeah, all right, cool.
I feel like his imagination is stalled out in the 80s because based on the pickup truck that was like out of RoboCop, and then this is clearly based on like his thinking on robots stopped at Terminator, and he's just like, I don't want a Terminator. I want one that I can beat up.
Right.
Yeah.
I do want the robot from the Jetsons. What's her name?
Rosie.
Rosie, sorry. Rosie would be cool. Like, just a robot. There's nothing cuter than a robot in an apron.
Right.
You know, and I say that with like, it's not gendered. It's not anything. It's just cute. And I would like that.
Well, yeah. You can get your XB500, housekeeper bot from Elon Musk soon.
There've got to be those like Roombas, but like that are like kind of cutesy. And I want like a Roomba that looks like a Pikachu in a little apron.
Yeah.
Is that too much to ask?
No, okay. Not at all. Maybe for Elon Musk, the guy, because, you know, the other thing is a lot of these stunts just feels like it's just to keep the name out there. Like the flamethrower shit, too, was just like something that, again, was, oh, shit, get the flamethrower. What the fuck was it for?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's sort of his, kind of how he navigates, like, the internet world is just to, like, try and become a fucking meme sometimes and,
you know, I feel like he has a,
fall into place.
All his decisions are made by a focus group of, like, 5 Reddit moderators or something. And that's just, like, how he's created his career.
That's very true.
I mean, but I guess the overpowering thing maybe is something, because most of our reactions, like, we just see those Boston Dynamics robots.
Yeah, fuck those.
Like, oh, fuck. This motherfucker doing parkour and doing a flip off of a fucking, like, 3 stair? No.
When you see those,
that frightens you.
Don't they look way too light on their feet? Like, maybe that's just me being an idiot, but I feel like you could just, like, pull a rug out from underneath them and be like, ah, you know, or, like, put a banana peel and be like, ooh, like, it just, they'd be, they
have
go down so easy.
Have you seen the ones
easy.
Where they try to kick it over and it, like, can't be kicked over? It just, like, finds its balance.
Stabilized.
Yeah.
Oh, that's upsetting.
I don't like that.
I figure, look, there's be easy ways. Like, you just get a bunch of fucking rare earth magnets and shit. And just like dump them on them, be like, got your ass. Let's go.
Yeah.
Time to steal all the meat from Target, y'all.
They're like,
we will see RoboCop in our lifetimes, right? We just got done doing a whole segment on, you know, BLM, cops getting COVID. You know, it doesn't get COVID.
Sure.
Robots.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Because that we've already, like, Ring has introduced a fucking indoor drone, surveillance drone for your house. Yes. What? Yes, this motherfucker will pop up out of its base station and, like, fly around your house and just kind of check out the interior of your home. Yeah. We told you to get your shit weeks ago. The fuck are you doing here? And I think the next iteration will be, like, perimeter security drones for, large properties. And then we'll begin to weaponize them more so than we do for military purposes. Like, they'll be, like, the one that just has a light taser on it.
Right.
And then there we go. We're full blown into these other motherfuckers. It's like, and this one has a fucking 50 cal attached to the fucking bottom of it.
Yeah. I do also kind of want, in addition to the Pikachu Roomba, I want like 2 like life size McCloskeys for my yard, you know?
Oh, just to fucking take a dump on?
No, yeah, exactly. Take a dump on. Or, I mean, they'd have to be ridiculous looking to know that it was a joke. But, you know, like garden Yetis that they used to sell on Sky Mall, RIP.
Right, right.
But like that, but the McCloskeys with their guns, you know, like
right.
For and Halloween, like that would actually be kind of tight. McCloskeys, sorry. I thought it was a household name. Jeez.
Yeah, sorry.
Hamburglar and, pink salmon. Right, right.
Yeah, there's almost no way that Bezos isn't like creating a robot army, an armed robot army behind the scenes. Like,
Yeah, like Pinkerton bots.
Jack.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this almost feels like a misdirect. Like, he's like, yeah, it's weird how much he emphasized that you can overpower it. Like, huh? I mean, that wasn't really what we were thinking about.
Should there be a glitch? I'm not saying that sometimes it hasn't choked out a few employees, but, like, right. Should that happen?
Right.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not creating an army of robots that can overpower you and catch you easily with amazing foot speed. So, like, don't even think that. I'm just creating easy to overpower robots.
And if they ever started fucking around and acting wild, all you have to do is to get inside of a Faraday cage and set off an EMP in close proximity, right. And they would easily be disabled. Okay.
I know what you're thinking, guys.
All right, look, I know this is going.
Francesca, it's been such a pleasure, as always, having you on the Daily Zeitgeist.
Oh my God. Over so soon.
I know. Where can people find you and follow you?
Oh yeah. Follow me on all the platforms at Franny Fio, FRANIFIO. Follow me on YouTube. My show, The Bituation Room, streams every Sunday, 5/8 Eastern.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Yeah. Is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
There, Juan Cafecito tweeted a GIF of someone dressed up like Patrick from SpongeBob, but in crazy heels.
Ooh.
Walking and writing Lil Nas on his way to upstage the Donda album with Industry Baby. I like Lil Nas X. And, it's just the fun. I can't. You need to look it up. I don't know why. It's more of a visual thing. I guess I should have picked a something that wasn't visual. But Patrick from SpongeBob in stripper heels is the best.
Yeah, is this like, it's like someone like on a concrete path around some grass? Is that the image?
Uh-huh.
Like in some fucking, what are they? They look like 14 inchers.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They're like me in all heels. Just like,
Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray. Also, if you like 90 Day Fiancé, check out 420 Day Fiancé with Sophia Alexandra and I. It's a good old time. Some tweets that I like. First one is from Dr. Jenay Robert at JENAYROBERT tweeted, I just found out some people didn't have their work email on their phone, which sometimes you're like, what is your secret to that kind of boundary setting?
Yeah.
Amazing. And then another one is from at Internet Anya, ANJA, tweeting, love when the washing machine gets to the angry part. Let it out, girl. especially when you get a new washing machine, like, what the fuck is that? Like, uh-oh, what is that, that part? Yeah, the smash zone, yep.
Let it out, girl.
Just clomping loud. Motherfucker.
I know, honey.
Oh, that's amazing. Let's see, a couple tweets I've been enjoying. Hello, Cullen tweeted, Blake Shelton, your name has lake and shell in it. A turtle-ass name. I agree, he should be a turtle. And somebody tweeted, you were offered $10 million, but you can never drink alcohol again. Can you do it? And which I wish that deal existed.
Yeah.
But then Alexander Fleming tweeted, $10 million is a lot of cocaine. So, you can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a place that you can buy a ticket to the live show.
Yay,
as well
come
as
through.
A song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people should be enjoying?
This is a track called Screwed, S-C-R-O-O-D, and it's by Jonty, who is a Stone's Throw artist from South Africa, I believe. But this track is just like very cool, vintage, psych poppy internet vibes to it. And it sounds really dope. It's just It's just like one of those artists where you're like, yeah, you know what? This feels right. And it feels familiar. And it's, you know, if you like things like, you know, people like Bad Bad Not Good, he's collaborated with them. If you like Mark Ronson Productions, he's worked with Mark Ronson. So it's in that vein. So it's got the energy to it. So this is Jonti, J-O-N-T-I, with Screw.
You know what's weird about the last name Ronson is I never... that. So that means Ron's son, which I never picture people like back in the era of like when we were still creating last names being named Ron. Doesn't Ron seem like a weird name for like somebody in like the Middle Ages to have? I mean, what's up, Ron? All right. Anyways, just a thought I had.
I mean, I liked it. It's just from that like one history lesson or that we have where it's like, yeah, your name is Smedel because you are blacksmiths or whatever, yeah. Or whatever, Smith. Goldsmith.
Yeah.
But it's funny because I'm like, I don't know if it's that one-to-one or it's like, if it's son, that means it's son of Ron. When I look right now, it says it's a Norman origin from the old French word ancien, meaning workhorse.
All right. Shit.
Yeah.
I don't get to imagine somebody in deep history being named Ron.
I just like the idea, like the battle, the height of the Battle of Hastings with the Vikings in like England. And they're like, here comes Ron the Terrible.
Ron the Terrible is great.
Oh, you were there at the Battle of Stamford Bridge with Harold Hardrada and Ron?
Exactly.
Ron the Terrible is the name of this episode.
Yes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. We are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending. And hey, we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.